Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Simply found that they work. Two things. The areas that had mask requirements in our state had 15 to 20% more mask usage and lower spread of the virus. So looking at that data, with the desire to keep the economy open to maximize the ability to return to school in a safer way as possible for teachers and for students, the mask mandate was really an easy decision after I saw that data.
You wear the mask for other people. You wear the mask to protect your grandmother. You wear the mask to, and so it's not just the orders. The orders are obviously important, but getting people to buy in and to understand, getting a 20-year-old to understand that he or she may, you know, feel invulnerable. Nothing's going to happen to them, but they may get it. They may not know they have it. They may go home and see their grandmother. She may get it and she may end up dying.
That's Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, about the mask. And before that, Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, also talking about their situation there and trying to crank up the economy and going with what's happening, the problems again of shutting down versus putting the mask on and balancing life and the economy. This is where we're at, folks. This is life in America, and not just America, outside our borders. Coming up this week on the show, I talked to somebody from London who said it's a nightmare with what's going on there and how the cases are just ratcheting up and how awful and sad it is to see what is happening and the raging debates that they're having over wearing a mask versus not wearing a mask and personal liberties and the right to open and get things going and the fact that everything is open there, and that then they're seeing the soar in cases and in deaths. So I think part of what happened to many of us is we thought this summer was going to be the reprieve, right? I know I did. I knew there were people that were scheduling for me to speak. I was going to take the show on the road. I was going to re-rack going to Ireland. I was going to broadcast from Ireland. And no, nope, 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 nope. Never got a break. Not even out of phase one. But I did cling to that somewhat in trying to re-rack, just like all of you, whether we're privy to certain information or not or whatever, just the hope that some of the conversation was about, oh, summertime by then. You know, if everybody just can social distance and do a couple of things, we get to the summer and it's going to be a whole different story. Well, we're not there. It is a bummer of a summer. Worse than a bummer for some people because our lives are still disrupted, and that's what it is. Our lives are disrupted. Somebody sent me an email and they said, when can you tell me when I'll pay you to give me an idea of when things are going to return to normal? And the answer to that is they'll never be back to completely normal. They will never be back to completely normal. So 143,000 people have died. There have been 383 confirmed cases. The number I love and the number I pray for always to shoot up is the recovered number. The people who have recovered, they get it. It's not a big deal, or it is a big deal, and they get through it, and they've come out of it on the other side, and they're not experiencing some of the re-symptoms other people are. So 1.12 million have recovered. 1.12 million, that's the number. And there are absolutely places where it's gone up. Florida reported 10,000 new cases for five straight days in a row. You had a healthy 13-year-old boy who died days after experiencing symptoms. That scares the bejesus out of me, because who wants to hear that, right? because when you hear, well, if you have diabetes, if you're extremely, if someone's extremely overweight, if somebody's health is poor, they're susceptible. That's in the beginning. See, it's again, the beginnings, the information you keep hanging on to. Well, geez, I don't want that to happen to anyone, but my family, we're walking, we walk the dog, we do this, we do that. We don't have these symptoms. We don't have any of those underlying could be catastrophic conditions. Well, a Claremont family grieving big time. He was isolated in his room. He started experiencing the COVID-19 symptoms. So they isolated him. And Max Cheng was his name, Max Cheng. And he was getting nauseous and he was getting chest pains, they got the test came back negative. His symptoms matched, but the test came out negative. And despite the test results, they still isolated him because of the ongoing symptoms. They went back to check on him like they normally do. He wasn't answering. They found him passed out in the room. He died days after seemingly having improvement over the previous week. There was almost no cough. The fever had gone down. All of that. And in Los Angeles County, where he was, only 7% of confirmed COVID cases involve children. So it's such a low number. It's terrible for that family because the number is so scary when you hear that kind of a story. I mean, that one takes your breath away, for lack of a better way to say it. It does. It knocks us back because we're expecting people that have some of these conditions and, you know, game over, all bets are off. It could go in any directions, sadly. I mean, it's not at all what we want to hear or see. So if you've just joined us for the first time, welcome to the show. My name's Kate Delaney. And remember, you can always shoot me an email with your thoughts. Mask on, mask off at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. And what's happening in Texas, there's been a terrible surge in Texas, and the disease has been pretty swift and brutal to some people. There's a story about a respiratory therapist in Dallas. She was treating a whole bunch of patients. As we saw the economy reopen, she got COVID-19 symptoms June 27th, tested positive 2 days later, and she died the morning of 4th of July, and you know, there are lots of stories like this one. And isolating, when people are isolating, people are using gloves, etc. The reactions to somebody getting it, do we know? We know only what, of course, we're being fed by scientists and doctors. But in getting every single opinion I could possibly cull, it still is a mystery. There still are so many mysteries about this. You know, we don't have a way to cure the common cold. I hate to use that analogy, but a doctor used that with me in a conversation, and I was like, wow, you didn't have to say that to me, because yes, we haven't cured the common cold. I want a cure for this beast of a virus that is crushing us physically, mentally, economically, etc. Where is that vaccine? How soon can we get it? And the big trials are coming up in less than 2 weeks, and I certainly have high hopes for that. Let's see what happens. Bravo to Chris Wallace, and I'm going to tell you why on the flip side when we go to our version of We Can Count. Meet you there.
There's There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Numbers. I think you see numbers everywhere in everything we do, good, bad, and indifferent. You know, sometimes they're kind of neutral numbers. Mathematicians will tell you it's neutral. It's just solving the equation. But the kind of numbers I see are not usually solving the equation. It's usually having to do with something else. All right, so how about this? I love this because it just shows you people, it goes back to that helping somebody when they hear that something happened to them. So that's a long way of explaining to you. A McDonald's employee was attacked by a customer over the mandatory face policy because McDonald's had one up. Boom, sorry, it's up. And they put up a GoFundMe page. This happened at the end of June. Maria Resenda, who was just 90-year-old worker in Oakland, California, verbally, physically assaulted by an unidentified male customer. So he hurled racial slurs, threatened violence, you know, was screaming, was hysterical over this whole mask thing, drove off, returned on foot, continued the attack. She was grabbed and hit, and of course this was filmed, grabbed and hit multiple times when he slid the drive-through window open and grabbed her neck and, scratches, the whole thing. I mean, just terrible. And spitting when he was talking and doing all these kinds of things. So anyway, it was horrible and scary, and they put up a one of the people that work with her put up a GoFundMe campaign, and of course it exploded. So $22,000 later, so many people felt badly for her that that GoFundMe page really got big. Chris Wallace, it was about the numbers for him. He did an interview with the president where there was light moments in the interview, believe it or not. But in this interview with him, he, you know, President Trump challenged critics on the way he's handling the virus. And he threatened a veto for the defense bill. He speculated on whether he's going to accept the results if the Democratic challenger wins the presidency in November. He wouldn't say he would. He didn't. He wouldn't say that. He wouldn't go there. Basically, it was an interesting interview. I mean, I give Chris Wallace props because he you can tell he gets along with the president. He's interviewed him before, but he was asking him the questions that he was going to ask him. And he asked him about the mortality rate. And President Trump said that I think we have one of the lowest mortality rates in the world. And then Wallace explained, no. His numbers came from Johns Hopkins University, ranked us seventh in mortality, ahead of the UK, worse than Brazil and Russia. And the president, you know, argued back with that. So there was a little bit of pushback there, and they went back and forth. And then from there, he talked about, so you got your number of where we were as far as mortality rate. So not good when you're ahead of some of those other countries and you're in the top 10, especially when you're the United States of America, so you're seventh in mortality. Ooh. Then the other thing was the president pushed back against statements from doctors, some of our leading doctors that he's worked with, the CDC Director Robert Redfield and the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Anthony Fauci. And Redfield said he expects the coming fall and winter to be among the most difficult times he's experienced in American public health. And the president said, I don't know, and I don't think he knows. I don't think anyone knows what this is. It's a tricky deal. Everybody thought this summer it would go away. It would come back in the fall. Well, when the summer came, they used to say the heat was good for it, really knocks it out. And then it might come back in the fall. So they got that one wrong. He is right about that. That's what I said. There was this false sense, if you were hanging on to every word in the very beginning, that, oh, wait a second. So we knocked this out, and by July, we're going to be okay, right? At least for a little bit. And then if it gets bad again in the fall, then that's our second wave. But we're not there. And the president also said he takes responsibility for what happens to the nation during the pandemic. And he said, yes, I take responsibility for everything because it's ultimately my job. I have to get everybody in line. And some governors, he talked about the governors, some governors have done it well, some governors have done it poorly, when he's talking about governors and what they're doing in their individual states. So that interview, like I said, I give Chris Wallace props. He did his interview. You know, he didn't sugarcoat it. It wasn't an attack interview per se, that everything was an attack, an attack, an attack. But he didn't back down from some of the questions. He didn't try to, I guess, in other words. All right, I love a story like this. This is a good number. How about this dog? I mean, dogs, I swear, are so smart. And I didn't grow up a dog person. This is only the second dog I've ever had, but in my life, Guinness. A dog named Cleo disappeared from her home in Kansas earlier in the month. Can you imagine the panic, the sadness, the kids, everything? Turned up a few days later at her old home in Missouri, 50 miles away. 4-year-old Labrador Retriever Border Collie showed up on the front door of somebody's home in Lawson, which is about 30 miles northeast of Kansas City. And at first, she wouldn't let anyone go near her. And so she's lived in the home for about 2 years. She finds her way home, and there's some strangers living in it. That's what happened. So she's gone, came back. So that was the part I didn't tell you. 50-mile trek to her old home. Cleo's owners had moved to another place in Kansas. They couldn't believe it when they got a phone call that the dog had turned up at their old house. They had posted on Facebook about missing the dog and all of that, and then poof, that happens. That's crazy. How did the dog know? I don't know. I mean, knew the home. It obviously had a memory for it and went back to it. Wow, wow, wow. Amazing is what that is. Amazing. So we talk about presidential politics and the polls and how important that is. You know what they talk about in England still? Prince Harry. So Prince Harry's popularity plummets. And people that were queried about it find him as a liability for the monarchy. Don't worry, he's so far removed from that, there's no way. The number who think he's an asset to the nation has more than halved in the past 8 years, from 75% to 35%. Hey, buddy, so you're over there in the United States of America, good for you, because you're not an asset any longer. The least popular royal is Prince Andrew, not a surprise. 80% branding him a liability, only 4% he has something to offer. Wow. The Queen Mum is the favorite. The Queen is the favorite. 81% say she's an asset. Then you have William and Kate, and then Prince Charles. You have to love that. William and Kate are first. Meghan, by the way, is seen as a liability by 51%, an asset by 24%. Once they left England, all bets were off, right? You're leaving, forget it. We're going to do some polls, and everybody's going to say they could care less. Because now you're in America, so you're over there. That's it. we're not worried about it. That's why the poll is low. Very, very, very low. All right, playing the tables in reverse, a fired NBC analyst, Jeremy Roenick, accused NBC of heterosexual discrimination in a wrongful termination suit. He's suing the Peacock Network, saying he was fired for saying something deemed vulgar, while he says a gay colleague who made similar comments wasn't reprimanded. Back in February, he was a guest on an episode of Barstool Sports Spittin' Chicklets podcast. He joked about wanting to have a threesome with his wife and Catherine Tappan, another NBC sports host. He described a day when they were out by the pool on vacation. They were asked by another vacationer about the situation between all of them. And he was being sarcastic and funny and, you know, whatever. So he got nailed for one of his comments that he made about another colleague, Johnny Weir, who heard what he said, and then ultimately he was fired. So then he turned the tables and said, okay, well, here's what I don't like, what happened to me. Ooh, I don't know, that's going to be a tough, tough lawsuit, I'm thinking. Hang with us.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As COVID-19 cases continue to increase, President Trump on Fox News Sunday again said the reason for the spike is testing.
Cases are up because we have the best testing in the world, and we have the most testing. No country has ever done what we've done in terms of testing. We are the envy of the world.
He was asked about a national mask mandate.
No, I want people to have a certain freedom, and I don't believe in that, no. And I don't agree with the statement that if everybody wear a mask, everything disappears.
On CNN, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves says after making errors early, the state is now responding.
We go to them every single day. We have a press conference. We talk to them. We tell them the truth. We're transparent. And they're doing better today. There's no question across America that the guard was let down in late May. There's no doubt about that.
But he still opposes requiring masks. This is USA Radio News. The vice president is out on the campaign trail. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more.
Vice President Mike Pence says the nation is at a crossroads of freedom in the 2020 election. Speaking in Wisconsin yesterday, Pence told a largely Republican audience,
"Our road leads to greater freedom and opportunity. Their road leads to socialism and decline."
Pence also blasted presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden over his policies and his lack of action against China during his tenure as vice president. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
There's been a shooting in Washington, D.C. at the Columbia Heights neighborhood. 9 people were injured just before 5 local time in the area of 14th and Spring Road. According to police, all of the people shot were adults and were taken to local hospitals. The incident is under investigation, and police are still searching for possible suspects. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
About the Navy Yard shooting. My mother worked for the Navy in Philadelphia, and when what unfolded not too far from Philly, you know, outside of the nation's capital, everybody went into sort of a silent prayer and panic mode and everything else. Imagine living through that. So Laurel Myers joins us. She's written a book called Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. And she's the subject of our Author's Corner. Laurel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So take us back to that moment. You were there, and there was so much nonsense that came out afterwards, and misinformation, and, oh, what he had done, and et cetera. But you were there. You were in the middle of that.
I was. I was on the same floor, just a row of offices between his area and my area. And I guess you call it stupidly, but I automatically picked up the phone and dialed 911, so I was on the phone with 911 the whole time.
And one of the things that you learned, I'm jumping in here for a second, one of the things you learned is that you had people around you that were, like, what do you think, your first instincts? You're on the phone with 911. How are you keeping quiet, and what are you doing to hide or keep yourself covered?
Oh, I had a cubicle with some vertical files in the back of it, and I ducked down in between the two vertical files and pulled my nice black office chair in front of me and my black briefcase piled in front of that in the bottom of the chair. So I was in the shadows, but I had the phone line down with me, and the office phone. And the whole time I was talking to the operator, I made sure that I couldn't hear him nearby, hear him or feel him. And the one time that he did come by, you could feel him there because the building was originally built for building the 16-inch guns that were to go on battleships. And the cranes were still there, the cranes that held the guns that were being built. And all they did was put in suspended floors. So we had five floors of that were suspended from in the building. And I was on the fourth floor where this all started. And I could, you could feel the footfalls of people walking by. So knowing that there was no one else nearby and feeling the footfalls of this heavy person walking behind me, I told the operator that I was not going to talk to her and because I feared that he would hear my voice. And I didn't want her to talk to me because I feared that he would hear her voice. Mm-hmm. And he stood behind me in the cubicle behind me and walked and paced back and forth and stood. And then you could feel when he changed his weight from one foot to the other. And I was so afraid that he would hear me, or I was afraid to breathe even because he would hear me. And the walls of the cubicle are just material. They're no protection. And if he heard me, he would shoot through the wall, and that would be it for me. So I put the phone down, and I put it down facing the floor so that she, if she did talk, it would be to the floor, not to me. And the entire time he was there, I just did not speak and almost did not breathe. And then as I felt him walking away, I finally had the nerve to pick up the phone again and let her know that we could talk again. That is the closest he got to me.
Wow. Wow. So you come out of this, and as I said, the title of your book, Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. How do you return to a normal life after that?
Still working on it.
Wow.
I was seeing a couple of psychologists for a while there, and a psychiatrist and a therapist. And, you know, one by one, we dropped them off, and I got down to one psychiatrist and one psychologist for 5 years. And it came to the point where both the psychiatrist and psychologist wanted me to go back, when we opened the building again, go back into the fourth floor where he had gone, and the now new remembrance area, and in our old cubicle area. So I made use of the chaplain that they had there, and I talked to him about it. And at first I felt that God had abandoned me. And I told the chaplain this, and figuring he would, you know, chastise me for this. And he said no. The chaplain was Jewish, and and he had his culture had gone through the Holocaust. And I said, how do you do this? And he said, he gets up every day and he prays. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, it will happen. And so he assigned me to go through one of those areas, and I said, I can't do that unless I can talk to you afterwards. And he said, no problem. Call me when you're going to do it, and I'll set time aside. So we did this, and he assigned me to read two books by two different people who had lived through the Holocaust and had written about the same feelings I was going through. And once I had read them, I thought, well, I hadn't gone through the Holocaust. I'd gone through a shooting. I hadn't lived through years of being treated the way those victims were treated. And so I started comparing my feelings against their feelings. And the chaplain said, okay, I think you need to write a book. And so he assigned me to write a book. And he said, I said, okay. And as I went through the different areas, I began to feel, well, God didn't abandon me. He abandoned us, all of us, those who died, those who were affected, just the whole building. And then I began to find myself saying their prayers, just as two writers of those books have found themselves saying prayers. And over a period of years, I started going back to church. My husband asked me to go to church with him, and I said, oh, okay. But I didn't sing. I didn't even listen. I just went with him because he asked. And slowly but surely, I started participating again in church. And now I find that I am doing more praying. I am doing more of the singing in church. It just took a long time to work into this. Amazingly long time to work into this. And now I just found that God lets things happen and lets us work it out.
Wow, what a powerful story, and what happened there, and what he taught you, what the rabbi taught you. What do you hope people learn from reading your book? What do you hope they take away from it?
What happens to you happens for a reason that's unknown to us, and it's up to us to figure out what was the intent and what we're supposed to take away from it, and to learn from it, and to move on. And eventually, it may not seem like it right now, it's supposed to make us a more powerful person, a stronger person. And this is the part, I think, where I'm at now. I'm working on the being stronger part. Now, this shooting happened in 2013. This is 2020. And I'm finally getting to the part where I'm working on the being stronger. So it does take a long time.
In writing the book, as the rabbi told you, did it feel cathartic to you? Was it good to release all of that?
It was. It was good to compare. It felt very strange to have the same feeling that these two other people had, who had been through a lot more than me. I didn't feel like I deserved to have those feelings because I didn't go through this huge, long, life-changing event that they went through. I went through a shooting. I had friends killed, and I still had that same feeling. I couldn't reconcile that, and I kept asking why, and that question didn't get answered. So I think it was the point of God lets you figure out why in your healing.
That's very powerful, and the book is powerful. And again, you can pick it up on Amazon or any place where great books are sold. Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. Laurel Myers, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Under stay-at-home orders, trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over, why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
With gun theft on the rise, it's crucial that law-abiding citizens hide their guns from criminals who are now becoming desperate. Learn exactly how with the newly updated Hide Your Guns e-manual, written by a former U.S. Special Forces officer who now reveals his field-tested secrets. Whether it's sneaky ways to hide your guns in plain sight or using extremely clever hiding places that even skilled thieves will never suspect, learn how to hide other valuables too, like cash, gold coins, credit cards, so that they're safe from thieves but back in your hands instantly when needed. All this week, get four free bonuses when you order. Gun Debate Bootcamp, How to Argue with Liberals About Guns and Win Every Time audio program. Our No BS Home Defense Report, the best-selling Your Home, Your Fortress e-manual, and a special mystery bonus worth $25. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Don't let your guns be stolen and used in a crime. Go to hideyourguns.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Exciting new phase. We're all anxious to get back to work. We want to do it smartly. We want to do it intelligently, but we want to do it. And that's what this week is going to be all about.
That's the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, talking about getting back to work in New York. They have had the most deaths. I've talked about that, particularly in the boroughs, obviously, versus the whole state. But he's optimistic, trying to do what others are trying to do and figure out how to get people out there if they have a job. 33 million people have filed for unemployment. And if you look at the unemployment numbers now, staggering, the people who are not working. In fact, just a handful of days ago, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that 14.7% unemployment rate, 14.7%. Think the depression and you got it. That's where we're at. So I hope that people are going to be able to come out of the pandemic, and I always say this when I'm speaking, refocus, reimagine, reinvent, because I think a lot of people are going to have to do that, frankly, to stay alive. This is not the world that we once lived in that we're going to go back to. Joining us now, he's in our virtual green room, and his name is Marco Greenberg. And he's the president of Thunder 11 and is the author of a book called Primitive, Tapping the Primal Drive That Powers the World's Most Successful People. He probably found out some of the things that I found out interviewing wildly successful people in business. I did it with sports and with CEOs. And he knows from the C-suite, certainly, what the people are looking at from that level as far as the people underneath them and who can they bring back if they've had furloughs and all that sort of thing and what companies are doing to reinvent. Marco, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Kate, great being with you.
So you are an advisor and a confidant to CEOs. So let's talk at that level first. What are CEOs scrambling to do now at this point when some of our most profitable industries and companies are finding themselves with half a paddle and trying to figure out if they can even stay in the game in some cases?
Yeah, well, you're so right. This is a time when people are reinventing themselves and trying to think about how they're going to put food on the table for their families, and to a large extent, the C-level executive is thinking about the same thing. How do they find people that are going to take their organization to the next level? How are they going to find people to create new streams of revenue? And like you, Kate, I've been fortunate to work with the C-suite and work with people that range from CEOs of Fortune 500 companies to CEOs of tech startups, founders of unicorns, mad scientists, crazy artists, etc. And I found that these are people that often march to their own drum. They throw out the civilized rule book. They are hard to put in a certain category, right? We like to categorize people and say they're introverts or they're extroverts, they're left brain or they're right brain, they're entrepreneur or they're corporate, they're morning people or they're night people. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm a morning person, quite from the East Coast, so I just want to lay that on the table. But I think there's something more primal going on. From what I've seen, a lot of these people tap into what's innate, what's inborn, what's instinctive, sometimes even what's impulsive. So others might call them disruptors or change agents, rebels. I reclaim the word primitive, and I mean it in the most pure and positive sense. I know the word is loaded, but I think often these people are exhibiting those kind of traits. What is pure? Not what is necessarily taught, but what they feel. And I think now, no secret, we're dealing in a real primal time, right? We're struggling with the most basic issues of our own mortality, sustenance, shelter, security, etc. So I think now is the time to reclaim what's primitive in all of us.
Oh, I like that. So, you know, and that takes introspection. That means you have to be vulnerable and you have to be accessible to yourself. And Marco, you know this, a lot of people struggle with that.
Oh, you're so right, Kate. You know, one of the things that we talk about in our book is the need to go roaming, and I mean that like our ancient ancestors did on the plateau across the prairie. And I can detail what that stands for. It's an acronym that people can tap who themselves might be listening and say, look, I'm not very primitive. I feel more civilized, right? I'm more process-driven. I cross the T's, dot the I's, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole spectrum out there, but the I in the roaming stands for insecure. And for a lot of people, that's counterintuitive, right? We've been taught to have the swagger and have the confidence. But what I've seen is some of the great leaders out there can do what you're talking about. They can tap into their vulnerability. They can weaponize their insecurity. A lot of the really, really top players are people who embrace that quality, who sometimes say, look, I feel like an imposter, right? And that contrasts with something that psychologists call the Dunning-Kruger effect, where incompetent people actually think they're competent. So research indicates, for example, that 90% of all Americans say they're above average drivers. Now, how is that possible statistically, right? It's not. But a lot of people lack that self-awareness, whereas people who are quote-unquote successful, and we can talk about how we define that, right? It's not just money. It's also impact and independence and having fun. We found that a lot of those people actually embrace that vulnerability, embrace that insecurity, and say, hey, anxiety sometimes is underrated.
I like that. So that is obviously part of what you have to do to have a successful career in a post-pandemic world. What else would you say?
Well, you come from the world of sports, and I think part of it is doing two things that people say we shouldn't do in business, right? We're often told, don't take it personally. Well, I don't know about that. I'll give you an example that might ring true to you. Remember John Randall, the defensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh, yeah.
Right. He took it plenty personally, right? He is someone that had a bit of a chip on his shoulder, was told he was too small, didn't have the stats to play in the NFL. He turned out to have more sacks than any other defensive lineman in the National Football League. He's one person we talk about. I don't want to just stick to football, but another that comes to mind is Dan Mullen, the head football coach of the University of Florida. And he's known as Mr. Relentless, right? Being relentless is part of literally and figuratively the playbook for his Gators. And part of it is taking it personally, is not just being the football coach, but sometimes being the dad figure. His mom is terrific, and she often plays the mom figure on the team in terms of treating these kids like their own kids. And a lot of people from a more civilized, quote-unquote, perspective would say, hey, that's crossing boundaries, but they see it as necessary to win.
I like that. So take it personally. We have a couple of minutes left, but what about people who are in the younger generations, that 16 to 19, they got hit hard by this unemployment. So globals we call them. That's what I call them, globals.
Mm-hmm.
And also even millennials and others, I guess. How is there going to be this new generation of hungry workers, adaptable hungry workers?
Well, I'm glad you used the word hungry. Look, this is the time where you want to hustle. You want to look at those side gigs. You want to look at that part-time work. You want to cobble it together. And I think this is an age where specialists are going to be punished and generalists are going to be rewarded. So we talked about roaming. For us, that stands for being relentless, and it's not just working hard. It stands for being oppositional. You know about that, to zig when others zag. We talked about being agnostic. So, yes, jumping from field to field, sometimes job to job, industry to industry. It's being messianic. So you really think there's a calling out there that you have, that you're on planet Earth for. We talked about insecure. Sometimes you've got to be a little nuts, crazy in a positive sense, and certainly gallant. You've got to think of others. So applying it to that Generation Z and millennials, I give two pieces of advice. One is go to where the food is. Go to where they're hiring, right? If you're looking for a job in a restaurant or a hotel, now is not the time. Instead, look at the grocery market. Look at the e-commerce play. Look at places that probably you hadn't thought of before. And the second piece of advice is, you know, not only doing what you're not quote-unquote supposed to do, but doing what's beneath you.
Ah, that's perfect, and a perfect place to end this. Marco Greenberg, pick up his book, Primitive, Tapping the Primal Drive that Powers the World's Most Successful People. Marco, thanks for staying up with us.
Thank you, Gabe. Take care.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.